11 and 12. Will you please help me open this meeting with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know that I didn't pass these out. Could someone please come up here and read We Do Recover?
Look at you, shining.
Tiana, recovering addict, 8. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go as best we can to the bitter ends, jail, institution, or death. We'll find a new way to live. Years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. Available to us all. This is a simple spiritual, non-religious program known as the Narcotics
Anonymous. Okay, then. All right, we're going to go right into it. So I would like to introduce our first speaker, Alexis B. from the Living Clean Group of Indiana area of NA.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yay!
I'm Lexi, I'm an addict. Me and Wyatt have been having a secret war as to who's going to go first this entire time. Obviously Wyatt won. I don't know, it's kind of interesting. Like, one, it's definitely an honor and a privilege for Laurel Mountain Area Highlands to ask me to speak at this, so I want to first say thank you for that, and for the committees for putting this together, man. I don't know where I would be without this, and like, I'll just go back a little bit. I've been coming in and out of here for quite some time, and had made a half-assed attempt, you know, back in 2009 to 2012, but I was a person who truly believed that I was like that one who was incapable of being honest, right? And I was that person who thought that like I could never be here, and I was the person who would show up to these events under the use of drugs and alcohol at certain points, because I wanted it. I knew I could see it. I could see it. I just didn't ever think that it was possible for me. So to be here and to be sharing on 10 and 11 and 12 is absolutely amazing. So thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. For me personally, like 10, 11, and 12 is like the maintenance steps, right? It's time for a tune-up. It's time to like check myself and check my motives. The sponsor I had at the time when I worked these steps, for me, 10, we did the Living the Program, right? And I don't believe that you have to be on 10 to formally use the Living the Program IP, but in the beginning, I did that. You know, and I did that consistently to the best of my ability for over 30 days. I gained so much perspective out of that. And it taught me how, like, at night, at the end of the day, when, like, I'm laying down, like, those questions that they ask me, like, still run through my head. Like, did I call somebody from Narcotics Anonymous today? Did I make a meeting today? Did I call my sponsor today? Did I call another member from the program today? Did I pray for someone else today? And like, depending on like my spiritual connection or my spiritual wellness, like some of those answers are no. Some of those answers are no. And I'm not perfect by any means. I don't ever, hopefully God willing, like I never think that I got this, or I never think that I'm perfect in this program, because then that means I stop growing, right? I don't ever want to stop growing here. I've experienced so many changes in this amount of time that I've been here this time that it still baffles me. Like I was talking with some members last night, and I've been talking with members all day, man. And it continues, this program continues to blow my mind with the benefits and the gifts that just keep coming, even in moments of pain. right? Like there's gifts in pain. And I had like lost my parents, both of them, in recovery this time. And I share about this all the time. Like I never thought, I've lost some serious loved ones in this program. And I'm still grieving over them today, right? But thank God for 10 and 11. Thank God for 10 and 11 when I was losing these people in my life. The pain that I was carrying, I was able to like connect. I still can say today, like I have no formal concept of God, right? For me, thank God, this is like not a religious program. I'm not a practicing religious person. It's not for me. But the spiritual part, the connection part, the ability to understand part, the ability to find compassion, the ability to listen to others, and the ability to finally, for once in, I swear, for once in my fucking life, there's no kids here, okay, to be fucking honest. I can be honest. I can be honest with my feelings. I can be honest with my sponsor. I can be honest with any single person that is sitting in this circle. I know if I fucking need you, you guys are here. And when I have went through significant amounts of pain, the connection that I get from you guys saved my fucking life. Saved my life. When I thought I was the only one whose both parents have died in recovery, and what do I do because I'm planning my father's funeral and I don't know what to do, it was you guys that taught me how to get through this shit without using. That is like so profound to me because it was never in existence for me. It was never, it didn't matter. I used over good, bad, ugly, and different. Didn't matter. So to come in here and like fully really understand that I don't need to put something in my body today, and like the relationships that I've built like through this process, and the ability and tend to like check motives, right? That's all I'm doing. I just gotta check my motive. I gotta make sure I'm doing something right for somebody today, because I am self-centered, I am egotistical, I am a jagoff. I am. It's my nature. It's the nature of my disease. If it was up to me, I'd be in a hut somewhere hiding, not talking to anybody. Leave me alone. Get away from me. You know, the masks. The masks. The masks. 10, 11, and 12 allowed me to put those down. You know, like 4, 5, and 6, yeah, I get it, but like, spiritually, I still wasn't there yet. Spiritually, every day for me, it's a day-to-day basis for me. I'm never at 100, right? Somebody, we were talking earlier about like balance. I am still exploring that, and like the 10-step inventory helps me do that. It helps me check my motive, and it helps me to remind myself of like where I fucking came from too. Like, this is the stuff I was taught in the beginning. You know, keep your fucking feet on the ground, Alexis. You know, and 11 and 12, man, like, when I did, I was so emotional in 12. I was so emotional in 12. Like, writing these out, and then, like, the one question, it was, I don't, like, word quote me or whatever the fuck, but, like, where they're, like, can you think of the people that have been there for you throughout this journey? And I remember, like, putting the pen down for a second and really, like, stepping back to, like, embody that question. Hold on, because here it comes. There's people that I didn't even know were here for me at the first White Key tag, because I'm a product of Keith coming back. They're still here. that said, Lex, don't give up. Keep coming. Keep coming. No matter how many times I was fucking in and out of these rooms, because, man, was it a revolving door for me. So, like, to sit back and think of all the people that put in effort, time, energy, and unconditional love just to see me get clean for one day, that is for what? Like, I was a terror. I was a terror. I didn't love me. And, like, if you would have told me, God willing, in December it'll be 5, when I was in the jail cell, that I'm gonna be able to pass this on now and, like, do service work in Narcotics Anonymous and help other women, you know, blow it the other way. Because, like, I don't have time. I'm all about me, and, like, I ain't doing that shit, and people hurt me, so I'm gonna hurt you, and, like, no. One of the most profound experiences that I've gotten from this program is sitting with a sponsee. And I'm sitting there, and I watch them, and I get them, and I get this honor and this privilege that they're trusting me with guidance through the steps, right? And you watch them go through this process, man, and the shit that they're just telling me, I couldn't even trust myself at one point in my life. And now these people are asking me for what I have. I get high, right? I get high off it. Giving it to them. Please take it. I have no right to hold on to this shit. It ain't mine. It comes from yins. It's like this flow that's constant in here. This is the only thing that has ever been constant in my life. I grew up in a dysfunctional, abusive, chaotic home, and continued that in my adulthood. Or I grew up in the state penitentiary for most of my adult life. There was no constant in it. You guys are constant. You constantly love me. You constantly show up. You constantly forgive, despite myself. So, like, 11 and 12, I was talking with a member before this, in service, right? H&I, jails and institutions. And so, I finally, after 20 years of being on fucking state parole, 20 years, made it off state parole. 20 years. I was a product of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. So I said to my state parole officer one time, I'm there, hey, you said I was, like, off state parole. Is that, like, still a thing? Or were you just, like, you know, Lexi B's really all right? And he goes, no, you were, like, off last month. The first thought was not go get high, go destroy your life. The first thought was you can fucking do H&I. I was so excited because it was H&I that came to me. I can remember sitting in a prison cell wanting to change, not knowing how to change, having a taste of you guys in my life, setting up deals in the yard to go get pills, and I was with a friend. I told her what I was going to do. She goes, you're not going. You're not going to the yard this time, Lex. You're not going to do those deals this time. We're gonna go to the fucking meeting. And I went to the meeting. Thank God for H&I that comes into prisons, institutions, and rehabs. There's nothing in there. Anybody that's ever been to prison or jail or an institution knows there's nothing in there to get better. I'll be the third person on the block. Maybe there's only three of us that go. But it's three of us that I got the start in there. So now, right, I was talking to this member who I've been incarcerated with. We've done time together in the county. We were two of the biggest terrors in Indiana County. Hated our lives. We're going in to do H&I together. What the fuck do you mean? I get to go in here with someone that I helped destroy my hometown with. They're gonna let me leave. They're gonna let me walk out. Cause I get the privilege. Trust me, I am fully aware that this is an honor and a privilege to carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous to these women in an institution where they're sitting and they think there's no hope. Because there's no fucking hope in prisons. There's no hope in jails until Narcotics Anonymous arrives. I know what it's like to feel hopeless, man. The pit of despair. You mean I can, like, stop using and find a new way to live? It's taken me multiple attempts to, like, truly believe that, like, that was a gift for me, that could happen for me. But encompassing that, like, the principle of, like, humility is 10, 11, and 12 for me. The whole thing. There's a lot of really other good principles in there. Unconditional love, spirituality, anonymity. All those great, beautiful principles are in there. But for me, when I look on these three steps, man, it's still a way for me to, like, short version say, like, check your fucking motives, Lex. Are you still doing what you need to do? I heard a predecessor say long ago, and I don't remember the predecessor's name, you will never have to go back to basics if you don't fucking stop doing them. Right? So 10 helps me do that. It helps me keep things simple. It helps me stay connected to my basics and maintain and check myself. And then 11 and 12, like, I need this spiritual connection. I need this conscious contact on a daily basis, or I'm just, like, running on ego, man. And, like 12, like, just give it back. Give it back. It's so humbling for me. It's a state of humility because, like, I can get... Yins all know me here. Like, I can get turned up to 100 and, like, on my tippy toes moving with, like, attitudes and egos and pride and all those things. But, like, to really make an honest an assessment of self every day and, like, check self and, like, come back down, right, and, like, practice humility, like, this conscience awareness, and, like, working with a newcomer and being of service is a constant reminder, like, this thing is so fucking big. It's so big, and I'm so small, and I don't want to know everything. I don't want to be perfect. I don't ever want to stop growing here. I don't ever want to think I got this. That's scary for me because then at that point, like, I'm not going to need yins anymore. Yeah, I say yins.
I know.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. I'm not going to need yins anymore, and I do every single day. I need your fucking help. You know? And when I get that, like, that flow... I think Living Clean says something about unconditional love being a constant flow of energy from one addict to another. You guys are my constant. I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that I learned that here. I didn't learn that growing up. I didn't know how to check my own motives. Everything was motive driven. I was raised to run on motive. Every last man for himself. If you have something, I'm taking it. It was survival all the time. I don't have to do that anymore. I can come in here and just be, just live. I don't have to have motive today. I don't need to know what's in your pocket. I don't need to know where you're going. I don't need to know how I'm getting home. I just need to know how I can help. How can I help? What is your problem and how can I help? Please. Ironic as it may be, that's what keeps me alive. Because, like I said, like sitting with sponsees and like doing step work with them, man, and I never understood this until a sponsor that I had said this to me, and now I'm sponsoring, so like I see it. Like, the sponsor for me, I get more when I'm working with a sponsee than when I'm doing my shit with my sponsor. It's, I don't even have words sometimes to watch these miracles happen. People that I've gotten high with and destroyed the world with, and now we're going to carry a message. I hope and pray that this journey continues for a really long time. For a really long time, because without it, I am spiritually bankrupt, broken, and lost. I'm lost. There's no more. There's no more Lex. There's no. I would disintegrate without you guys, and be left to own devices, which ultimately will lead me to death. That was like the end goal. How quick can I die? You know, today the goal is like, how can I give back? How can I be a member of service? How can I be a person of Narcotics Anonymous? How can I carry a message of hope? What can I do? Help me, help you, help me. You know, it's just so interchangeable and beautiful in here. 10, 11, and 12 moved mountains for me. Continues to move mountains. All the steps are beautiful, and they're definitely in order for a fucking reason. Thank God for that, because if you would have asked me to sponsor on step one, I don't think either one of us would be here. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, love. All right. Thank you, Lexi. And I'd like to introduce you to our second speaker, Wyatt E. from Turning It Over in Beaver.
Hey! Wyatt!
Hello everyone, I'm Wyatt, I'm an addict.
Hi, Wyatt.
Yeah, I definitely don't like the woods. The fire is definitely too fucking hot. I'm sweating my balls off right now. It's real great. I was only told it was 11 and 12, so I was like prepping myself for like the last week, kind of like get some good shit going.
With
some,
yeah,
I know, man. They just threw 10 in with me, you know? So, great, right? Good job, you know what I mean? I don't think like I could ever really be prepared. I really don't kind of like have any sort of like, I don't have any like sort of like, I guess like sheet of shit to talk about. I'm not really good at topic speaking. Like, I really don't like topics. I like just kind of giving you guys like how I've came here and I've stayed here for a while, you know? I was thinking along the lines where like, you know, like 1, 2, and 3, like get me here, and then like 10, 11, and 12 keep me here. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't realize that until like after I finished my 12th step and like realized that like, how I was basically working like a mini 12 step all throughout this time, through this journey that I've been on. But like with the 10th step, like I'm like a real, like I have the Pittsburghese because I'm from Pittsburgh. Okay. So like I say downtown and I say the north side. So like, I've just been a jag off all my life, you know, I'm an asshole. Like, but I don't notice it sometimes. And like my intentions behind it aren't, you know, it's not to like harm anybody, but you know, and I don't realize that I can be harmful to some people because I don't know what people are going through, you know. But yeah, like thinking about that with the 10th step, like the 10th step is kind of that, just that daily inventory for me to, make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing throughout my life. The 10th step is really good because like recently, like, you know, I've started to really like dig into it and like start to utilize it because like, you know, I am trying to be a better person, you know. I'm not trying to be that person that like everybody knows is being an asshole, you know. I want to be the nice person. I want to be like, you know, the big teddy bear, you know. So like, so I do at the end of the night, like I'm not good at it. I'm not perfect by no means, but I do at the end of the night, I try to take a look at like my, you know, like my past day and see what I've done. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird how like, how this step has like changed my life, because like I've started to know the change in my friendships. I've started to notice the change how other people behave towards me because of how I behave towards them now. You know, and I mean, I'm not saying this to like say anything wild, but like I'm in constant contact with my sponsor, like on a daily basis. I call him like every single day, and it's like not exaggeration. Him and I built this relationship that like I've never built with any other sponsor. I lived with him for a while, so like it was kind of like, you know, he knew my everything, you know, everything that I've done. So like him and I are like really, really close. You know, like I call people in recovery, I talk to people in recovery, I try to be of service in recovery. You know, I have area level position, I do all sorts of stuff for my recovery. So like the 10th step is very easy for me to notice for the most part of what I do for my recovery. But the being nice part and like harming other people is the things that I have always struggled with. You know, because like I don't intentionally try to harm other people. You know what I'm saying? It's just like just how I am. It's just how I talk, how I behave, and like it's literally my brain's telling me I'm joking around, and like you guys are perceiving it as me being a fucking asshole, you know what I'm saying? And it's not really what it is. It's just me being Wyatt, you know. So like it's once I've started to really like in like the IP, like I think, what is it, Living the Program, it has all the questions, and it's like I have it in my car, right? Because like every day, like I take a look at it, you know, at the end of the night after a meeting, I always take a look at it, and I try to answer them in my head and see if I've done anything wrong or done any harm. Because like now it's easier for me to make like a direct amends like on the spot rather than like letting it carry out and like, you know, cause resentments on either end. You know, so it's like really, it's a really quintessential like step for me personally that like I try to practice on a daily basis, because if I don't, and like I do mess up and I do something wrong towards somebody and I don't know about it, then like it could cause harm to them, and it could potentially give them that excuse to go back out, you know. And I don't want to be like, I don't want to have that thought that I might have been that one thing that led them back out, you know. Yeah, like I mean, I guess like I'm kind of like, I'm going to try to like follow how she spoke, and like, you know, I kind of like, you know, I grew up in this wild, like, I grew up in like a wild like family where like half of my family were like college graduates and they did everything that they were supposed to do for their lives, and then the other side of the family was like, you know, drug addicts or like, you know, felons and like, you know, criminals and stuff. And like for some odd reason, like I was attracted to that side of my family, so like I kind of like followed in their footsteps, you know. So like I never had a concept of God. I still to this day don't believe in God, right? Like Jesus, the Son, the Father, all that stuff. I just don't, it's my personal opinion. And that's where the second step helped me, because like it allowed me to understand that like as long as my higher power is greater and loving and caring and greater than me, that's all that matters. You know, and it took me some time to figure out what that higher power was. And once I did figure it out, it is my grandfather. It is, you know, a friend of mine that passed away, Kyle. It is my ex-girlfriend that passed away from an overdose. It is all these people that I've befriended and like bonded with for so long. Those are the people that watch over me on a daily basis. I do choose to pray as saying God, because it's just a little more easier for me to say it. But like, that's who my higher power is. That's who's watching over me. And that's what keeps me at a constant like medium level, you know. And it's like so cool to like understand that. And like, it's so cool to know that like my God doesn't have to be yours, and yours doesn't have to be mine. And like, nobody's forcing me to, you know, be some sort of formed religion or formed God or anything like that. So when I got into the 11th step, and the 11th step allowed me to, like, understand when I'm praying, like, I always had those jackpot prayers in the beginning, or like one I was using, like, God, get me out of this shit, I ain't never gonna do it again. And like, you know, right after doing it again, right? Or like, I would be praying while I'm doing the dumb shit to not do it again, you know? But now it's like, you know, I always thought, like, you know, prayer and meditation was like a big thing for me, because like, with the prayer, like, I thought praying for the $1 million was like, it's gonna happen, right? You know, or like praying for the brand new car, it was gonna happen. But like, I didn't notice what it really was doing for me and what my higher power was doing for me. He was opening up the doors for me to be able to have those opportunities, to be able to gain those things in my life. Now, I don't think I'll ever be a millionaire. I mean, it's a good thing to dream, right? You know, but like, I have a new car, I have a house, I have, you know, I have a full-time, all these things that I prayed for in the beginning are what I have today. And like, I didn't realize that. I didn't see those blessings early on because like, I was too caught up and like other shit. I wanted to be like the gossip queen, I wanted to be the shit talker, and I wanted to be the tough guy, and like, I'm Billy Badass and all that. But like, now once I've like discovered that conscious contact with my higher power, and now that I know how to, like, you know, now that I know how to meditate properly, I meditate in the mornings, it's best for me. I wake up at 5:30 every morning, even if I don't have to work, and I lay in my bed peacefully, you know, my cat comes up there and chills, like, it's just me and her, you know, and I relax. And like, and I calm my mind for a little while. And like, I learned this thing, and I actually was in prison when I found this out. And they told me, they suggested for me to picture something, like, just, so I started picturing number one. And until I picture, like, I can visualize the number one, that's whenever everything goes completely quiet and I get real calm and everything just goes nice and smoothly. And once I come back to, like, I feel a lot more refreshed. I feel like I'm ready for the day. I don't pray all the time. But I also don't pray just in the bad times anymore. That's the one big thing for me, because I used to pray in the bad times, like living in a recovery house in the basement and like worrying if I'm going to be able to pay the rent. And I'm more worried about sneakers than I am worried about the rent. And like, then I fucking buy the shoes and then I'm late for the rent. And then I'm like, Joe Mills is going to kick me out and I ain't going to have nowhere to go. And like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go start shooting dope underneath the Northside Bridge again. You know, that's my thought, right? So thinking about that, right, with the, like, with praying and stuff and understanding, like, how, you know, God, my higher power, chooses to put opportunities in front of me to be able to do things today. You know, I'm partial owner of a company today. Like, I have ownership in a company. If you would have told me this, like, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, like, 6 years ago when I was clean still, like, you know, I relapsed in the part of 2018, right? So, like, you know, my clean date is July 5th, so, like, that's pretty cool, right? But anyways, you know, even if you would have told me back then, like, I would have been doing what I'm doing today, I would have told you you were lying, right? Because, like, that amount of abstinence, because I don't call it clean time, I call it abstinence, because I wasn't doing fuck for myself. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't working steps. I had a sponsor. I had a home group, but I didn't do anything. So, like, my life didn't improve. I was still miserable. You know, I still thought I was the cool guy and everything like that. But now that, like, once I came back, and, like, not to, like, preach, like, you know, literature or anything like that, because I don't like that. But, like, once I had that jarring experience to come back and, like, put a more rigorous application to the program, then I started to notice how my life has improved so much. And just in a 4 short years that I've been clean, my life has, you know, has progressed tenfold. You know what I'm saying? And like, and it's such an amazing feeling to know that, like, just by working steps and like continuing to go the route that I'm going and doing the things that I've been doing, that like my life is just going to continue to get better and better and better. And like with the 12th step, I mean, the 12th step's pretty simple. It's just like learning how to like give back to the addict, to the newcomer, like learning how to apply the principles in my life, learning how to apply the steps in my life. It's really simple for me. You know, I've been doing that since, been doing that for a very long time, since I've been clean, at least since year one. I remember my sponsor one time. He wasn't my sponsor at the time, but this is the reason why I chose him to be. I had like maybe 5 months clean, where he would drive from his town to my town to pick me up to go back to his town for the meeting, to drive me back to my town, drop me off to the recovery house, right? But the one night we were driving back, I was like, damn, bro, like, I'm really fucking hungry. I didn't eat today, and like, you know, no stores are open. I can't use my food stamp card. Like, I don't know what to do. And he gave me $20. He said, go in the sheets, get you some food, and you know what I mean? You're good to go, right? I come back out and I said, I'll give you the change back. And then I said, I'll pay you back when I get my first paycheck. He said, I don't want it. I want you to give it to the next person who needs it. And I know it sounds like something that, like, you know, would be like a storybook thing to do, but like that is exactly what happened. And like ever since then, once he'd done that to me, like I noticed that, like, by giving it back to doing to others what I would want done for me has helped me so much more. And like, I need you guys just as much as you guys need me. Right. And like, that's one of those things that helped me continue to go the route that I'm going, you know. Fuck, man. You know, my area trusts me with money. I'm the treasurer of area service. What? Like, do you know what I was just doing 4 years ago? Like, do you know that I was, like, you know, stealing copper out of a fucking elementary school? Do you not know that I was, like, stealing gold off of women and, like, doing dumb shit, right? Do you not know what I was just doing? And you guys are going to trust me with thousands of dollars and you're going to think that I'm going to go to the bank and drop it off? That's an amazing feeling. That's God for me, right? That's like showing that, like, other people that are in my area see the growth that I've made, like the predecessors that are on my side that have watched me grow up in this program, they trust me. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's such an amazing feeling because for so long, nobody fucking trusted me. You know what I mean? I have my dad and my grandma in my life today. Those are such good things that I prayed for in the beginning. Like, I just wanted that. I just wanted to be able to give back to my family, you know what I'm saying? And like, those are the only two people I have in my life, you know what I'm saying? Besides my family here, you know? It's such an amazing feeling to know that, like, how recovery works for me. And like, and I'm so mad that, like, I didn't give this shit a shot the first time around, you know? Like, I wish I would have stayed clean and like, just actually gave it a little bit of effort and like, did some work, you know? Cause I would have had a, you know, my life would have been just as good, if not better already, you know? The 12 step is really dope for me just because of how, like, learning how to apply these spiritual principles in my life today. Just trying to be kind to other people, like being honest. That was the worst thing in the world, to be honest with any fucking body. I didn't want to tell none of y'all how I felt or what was going on in my brain. You know, I didn't want to do none of that shit because, like, I didn't want you guys to see the vulnerability that I had. I didn't want you guys to see that I am, in fact, a soft teddy bear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't want you guys to know that. I want you guys to think that I'm the tough guy and, like, nothing bothers me, you know? Once I lost my girlfriend, July 2nd of 2019. That was 3 days before my one-year anniversary clean. And, like, ever since then, it's, like, bothered, you know, it fucks with me every once in a while. But that little amount of time to see how much Narcotics Anonymous showed up for me and did what they did for me, I just knew that I was home, and I knew that I had family, and I knew the people that trusted me, you know, so, I don't know, man, I feel like every time I start saying, it's about time for me to quit, so, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Laura. I want to thank Lexi.